Well, how many are glad to be in God's house today? Are you glad to be in God's house? Today, if you say, man, I had never been to a church like that, I say, well, now you have. And you're welcome to come back anytime. And if you don't have a home church, we sure do welcome you here any Sunday we're here. And there's a lot going on for the whole family. And we believe that we serve a risen Savior. He's come to set us free. And we can come today and just serve the Lord with open hearts and with just to be real people and to serve Him, a real God, today. And we're so thankful that you're here. We're in the middle of a series, and we're going to continue it today. We've called Revealing the Champion in You. Revealing the Champion in You. Now, how many know we have a champion inside every one of us? Do you know that? Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a champion inside you. I told the church last week that I have a 5-year-old son who gets up every morning and he looks in the mirror and says, I'm the man. He does. He looks in the mirror and he flexes. I don't know where he got that from, but he looks in the mirror and he flexes and says, I am the man, at 5 years old. And he thinks he's the man. And already he knows there's a champion inside of him. And every one of us, there is the man and there is the woman, the spiritually that God has placed in every one of us. There's a champion that God has put inside every one of us. This is not something that happens. This is not the thing on the school ground where you get picked last because you're not very athletic and you can't play. But God has destined inside every one of us, no matter how old you are, no matter what your race is, what your background is, that every one of us have a champion inside of us. There is a champion that God has placed there to come out and to be the champion that God has created you and I to be. And today, I believe that champion is alive. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's alive. It's alive. That's right. It's alive. Yes. It's alive inside you. A champion is alive inside you. So we're helping reveal that champion in you. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought, the greatest pep talk ever given. The greatest pep talk of all time. Now, how many know that it takes pep talks from time to time to make it? If you're an athletic event or if you're on a team or you're in a race or whatever it takes place, there's sometimes that you feel like giving up. Now, how many can say in your life you feel like giving up at times in your life? I can be the first one. There's been times in my life where I felt like giving up. That all of us go through times in our life where we feel like, you know what, I just want to throw in the towel. I just don't want to do it any longer. I'm tired of trying. I'm not getting anywhere. You feel defeated. And we see that it takes a pep talk sometimes to come along and to get us going. And we see this. You know that Jesus Christ came to give a pep talk, more than just a pep talk, but I've titled the pep talk today, but Jesus Christ came to motivate you. He came to inspire you to be the champion that God created you and I to be. And we see this. You know, one of the things I love about Easter is that we see that even everybody who says, I don't believe that Jesus ever lived, but yet they have a calendar that says what? It says Easter. We have a calendar. When we write down 2008, what are we saying? 2008 B.C. 2008 what? A.D., that's right. Some of you said B.C. You think, man, we're really old around here. We have A.D. and B.C. We're validating that Jesus Christ was born and that he came, and we celebrate Easter as a time of his resurrection. And so whether or not you believe it, it's documented. And every time you look at a calendar, every time you look at a clock, time was divided by Jesus Christ's birth. Can you believe it? Time was divided, an event so important that time was divided. A.D. and B.C. became history, and we know that today we still use that. And today, there's no other event that is more important than this event of Jesus Christ coming, being born on this earth, and dying for our sins. He was raised up from the dead. You see, Easter proves that Jesus Christ was who he claimed to be. He was who he said he was. He was the Son of God. He says, I am the way to heaven. He says that I am coming. They're going to put me to death, but I'm going to bring forgiveness of sins, and I'm going to be raised from the dead on the third day. And when he arose from the dead, he validated everything that he said. He validated everything that he taught. And he brought a validation to you and I that, yes, that you and I can have forgiveness of sins through him. And so every once in a while, though, we all go through a time in our life when we need a pick-me-up, man. We feel like we want to throw in the towel. And, you know, I can tell you that there's different times in my life that having played a lot of different athletic events, that there's just times that you need that big pep talk. And I was thinking about this. I was looking on the internet, looking up the best pep talk of all time. I was looking at some of these things, and This happens. This scene we're going to show you here happens to be one of the best pep talks, according to posters, in movie history. And let me give you a little background. I'm sure many of you have seen the movie Remember the Titans. You remember that movie, Remember the Titans, based on the 1971 story of T.C. Williams High School. The high school that year became integrated, and as they became integrated, they were busing in and making sure there was their integration was going on. And the head coach lost his job. Caucasian head coach lost his job to the African-American coach who came in. And as he's there, they have to work together, and the players have to work together, and they go away to camp, and they work through their racial issues and tensions and new ones and all the stuff. They work through their issues, and they become together as a team, and they're playing together as a team. And the guy who was the head coach stayed on and became the assistant head coach, even though he had been the head coach and lost his job. And he was up for the Hall of Fame, and he was up for the Hall of Fame, and we see where there was a lot of prejudice going on against this particular coach that came in. And so the refs and the other coach, they were very prejudiced, and so they were trying to fix the game where he would lose the game. They did not want him to win the game. They wanted him to lose the game. And so they fixed the game. The refs were calling bad calls. I mean, nothing. You couldn't do anything. They're calling bad calls. They were cheating. And this one coach, who was assistant coach, who used to be the head coach, if you follow the story, okay, he realizes what's going on. They're trying to throw a game, and we see him step up to the plate here and give his big pep. Let's see what's going on.
Hey, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Fisher, can I talk to you for a second?
Back off, coach, if you want to stay in this game.
I've got holding on 78 white.
What are you? Are you trying to cheat my boys out the game? 15 more yards.
Listen, let them play, ref. Let them play.
Reasonable.
Let them play. Let the boys play. Cheater.
Coach, come on.
Cheater.
Go, 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 go.
I know all about it, Titus.
What are you talking about, Billy?
You call this game fair, or I'll go to the papers. I don't care if I go down with you, but before God, I swear I'll see every last one of you thrown in jail.
You dig your own grave.
Defense! On me!
Okay, Petey, don't you drift to the strong side.
Coach, they're calling a holding penalty on me every time.
Did I ask for your excuses? You want to act like a star? You better give me a star effort. Do you hear me? Forget about him. Allen, you're it. Come on.
All right. Now, I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night. If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
What?
You want to make yourself comfortable down there, real comfortable.
You're talking about getting the team fired up. I'm ready to play right now. Bad knee and all. I'm out there. Let's go. I mean, you just can't help but watch that scene and get pumped up and realize the impact of what the coach gave up. And they fired those guys up. I mean, every one of us in our life at times when, if you want to be a champion, that you want to throw in the towel and things aren't going right. A lot of times things are happening are not fair against you. Things are happening that people are coming against you or things are going on in your life. You just make no sense at all. And you want to throw in the towel. But I'm glad to hear today to tell you that here comes a person who comes to tell us, you know what? Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. And we see this happening with the disciples. Jesus Christ, their leader, had just been crucified and put to death. Now, they thought that Jesus Christ had come to set up his kingdom on earth right then. And so they thought he was going to overtake the Roman Empire and overtake the government and reestablish his kingdom right there. So for him to be put to death, they're thinking, what has happened? Have we been following this guy around all this time and what he said was not going to take place? They begin to come disillusioned. They lost their heart. They begin to think, what are we doing? We find them hiding in a house together. We find them panicking, and we see them disheartened. We see them losing their passion to do anything. What are we going to do? They really feel like they were going to give up. What are we going to do next? It's all been for nothing. We gave up all this to follow him for a couple of years, and now nothing. And he's been put to death. What's going to happen? And so we see where many times in our life we feel the same way. We feel afraid. We feel like things are, what's going to happen next in my life? I don't understand what's going to happen next. And Jesus Christ, he rose from the dead and he came to them and he recharged them. He gave them one of the best pep talks, I believe, ever to mankind because it changed the course of history. You realize the disciples had thrown in the town. They were ready to give up. And his one encounter when he came back and he rose from the dead and he went to them, this one encounter changed history. The things that he said and done in their midst. In John chapter 6, verse 20 here, we're going to get to it in just a second. We're going to find out exactly what he did in John chapter 20. This one encounter in John chapter 20, he came, it changed the history of time. It motivated them to go out and to change the world. Disciples went out and they spread the gospel around the world. And you and I are here today because of the disciples who went out and spread the gospel. So what did Jesus do? I'm going to talk to you about this. What does he do to you and I to recharge them? I believe the same thing he wants to speak to you and I today. That many of us here, that we have felt like giving up. I don't know what kind of week you've had. I don't know what kind of month you've had. And for some of you, I don't know what kind of year you've had. But I can guarantee that a lot of people here, you've struggled. You feel like throwing in the towel. You feel like giving up. But here's to say, you're in the right spot today. You're in the right spot today because you're going to hear a message of hope, a message that Jesus brings to say, you know what? It's okay. You're going to make it. You can do it. He brings you into halftime and says, all right, listen, guys, I know it looks bad out there, but don't look at the scoreboard because I'm going to tell you, we can do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, we can do it. Okay. We can do it. And he tells us we can do it. And so what did Jesus tell them? I believe the same thing he says to you and I today. The first thing we see that Jesus, when he wants to recharge you, he meets you where you are. He meets you where you are. In verse 19, we see it says here that his disciples, it was late that Sunday evening. The disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. Now realize, they're there, they're afraid. They're thinking, all right, they come and got Jesus, they've crucified him, and now they're coming after us. And so they're running scared. They're thinking, man, this is no hope. There's nothing going to happen here. So they're in hiding. You know, it's late, and it's late in the evening. Have you ever been so tired you just can't sleep? Have you ever had so much going on in your mind that you just can't sleep? You had those restless nights where you just cannot go to sleep. This is what's happening here. It's late in the evening, way past the guy's bedtime. They're up in the house together. What are we going to do now? You know, I mean, everything he taught us. I mean, what does it mean? Is it true? Is it not true? Were we following a lunatic? He said he was going to, you know, establish his kingdom, but now he's dead. What's going on? They're afraid. They're running. And one of the coolest things is this, that even when you're afraid, that Jesus comes to you. He meets you where you are. You know, disciples didn't have to go looking for him. Jesus came to them. And today, even when you feel like you want to throw in the towel, even when you feel like there's no hope for you, I say that Jesus comes to meet you today. That Jesus comes where you are in your circumstance. It says here they were hiding. Why were they hiding? Because they were afraid. They were fatigued. They were second-guessing themselves. It says they were locked behind the doors. Locks are put in for why? To keep people out, isn't it? To keep people out from coming inside. But I believe today, not only were they locking themselves from people coming in, but they were locking themselves inside also. That many people here today, you've put on some locks in your life. You've locked out letting anybody get close to you. You've locked out letting anybody try to hurt you again. You've locked out and said, you know, no one's ever going to get close to me again. I'm going to stay away from anybody. I'm not going to trust anybody again. I've been hurt way too many times in my life. and we're living our life in fear. We're living our life locked away in our little hideout, thinking this is the only place that's safe. And yet we're living that life in fear. I wonder who you've locked out of your life. Some of you locked out people, but many of you here today, you've probably even locked out God out of your life. You know what? I don't know if God really loves me. I don't know if God even really cares for me. I know you talk about God, but does he really care for me, Pastor? And we find ourselves locking ourselves away from God. We're locking ourselves away saying, I can't trust. Is he really real? But this is what's so great about our God, that he comes and he meets you where you're at. He comes and he finds you where you're at, that you can't lock him out, that he still comes and he stands at your door and he knocks and says, I'm here for you. I'm here. I know you're scared. I know you've gone through some things in your life that wasn't fair. I know you've gone through things that you just didn't understand in your life. And it's caused you not to trust anybody. And it's caused you not to love. But God is here today and he's knocking on your door saying, it's okay. It's okay. I'm here to meet you where you're at. Don't run to me. I'll run to you. He's running to you today. He's appearing to you and I today. He is here. He shows up where we're at. The second thing we see that Jesus does, he gives you encouragement. Notice what he says in verse 19. Then Jesus said, peace be with you. I love this. He says, calm down. Chill out. It's okay, man. It's all right. He's saying, it's all right. Just take a deep breath. It's all right. It's under control. Peace be with you. And you say, why is that so important? Because can you imagine what they were thinking when Jesus showed up? I mean, I would think the first thing out of his mouth would have been, where were you guys? You know, after all this time of me taking you and training you and feeding you, they come to get me and to crucify me. I don't see any one of you guys. You're all running and hiding. Where are you at? Why'd you run? I mean, but we don't see an ounce of condemnation coming from our Savior. What's he saying? Instead of saying, where were you? Why'd you desert me? Why are you in there hiding? We don't see any of that happening. But it says he appears to them. He comes to them in their fear. He comes to them in their locked room. He says, peace be with you. What a powerful word that Jesus will come to you and I today, and he'll find us in our locked parts of our life and find us hiding and trying to shelter ourselves away from the pain and to hide away from the fears of our world. And he comes up and he shows up, and instead of condemning us, saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Where were you? You haven't been here since last Easter. Where were you at? Jesus is not here today condemning you. He's not here today saying, where you been all your life? What's going on? It's about time. He's not here doing any of that. He's here today saying, you know what? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Many of you walked in today with things in your life that are dragging you down. You got baggage you've been carrying around. And his peace is here today. He's saying, peace be unto you. I want you to understand this, that nobody understands you. Nobody understands the way you feel like Jesus does. That he understands you where you're at. He understands that you may be in hiding. He understands you may have fear of rejection. He understands you may have some things in your life that you're afraid to be condemned about. He may understand you may have some things that you're not proud of in your past. He may understand that you may have messed up and done some things that seem so bad. Instead of coming today and saying, you did this and you did that, he's here to say, you know what? Peace be unto you. I love you. Allow me to come in and bring my peace into your life, because nobody understands me like Jesus. Now, guys, my wife, I ask me all the time, what are you feeling? And I'm like, I don't know. Come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about. Guys, we have a hard time expressing how we really feel. We have a hard time verbalizing how we really feel. Now, ladies, I can ask you how you feel, and 2 hours later, you're still going. That's the difference between men and women. We can verbalize it. But listen, I don't care whether you're a guy who can't verbalize it very well or you're a woman who can verbalize it very good. Nobody understands how you feel like Jesus does. Nobody understands your makeup like Jesus does. Guys, he understands everything. Yeah. He understands our grunts and our groans, and that's how we communicate. Yeah, yeah, woo. You know, he understands every part of us. Ladies, he understands everything that you're going through. Nobody will ever understand you like Jesus. He understands us exactly how we feel. Philippians 4:6 says, Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. And God's peace is so great that we cannot understand it. It will keep your hearts and minds in Christ. I can tell you this, that he brings this personal comfort to you and I. There's times in my life when I could very easily be stressed out. There's times in my life when I could lose it. There's times in my life when it seems like I should be just walking around stressed out, maxed out, no patience at all, worried about things that are going on. But I'm able to walk at total peace with the Lord because I've learned to give over to his peace. I've learned to pray about the things in my life and say, God, you know what? This thing is in your hands. And that's what you can do as a Christian, is you learn to come and give God the things you're going through in your life. And he brings a peace that will pass all understanding according to Scripture. And he brings this peace today to you. And some of you here today, you're so stressed. You're so worried about some things that are going on in your life and your home and your finances and things that are happening. You say, man, I'm just so stressed, Pastor. Man, I'm just here today. I just need God to touch me. And I say, you're in the right spot because his peace is here today for you. And as you learn to live for him and you learn to pray to him, that you can learn to live your life like this. All right, God, you have got it under control. Number three, he came to them. He shows you his love. He shows you his love. Look what he says here. He says, as he spoke, Jesus held out his hands for them to see. And he showed them his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. We see, first of all, he's validating. This is, hey, this is really me. This is not a ghost you're seeing here. This is not an illusion. Here, look, here's the nail scars. Here's the hole in my side here. It's really me. I'm really Jesus. And so he did that because he was wanting to show them how much he loves them. He was saying to them, this is for you. You see these nails in my hands? This is for you. You see the spear that was in my side? This is for you. When I hung on that cross and I was struggling to breathe and my lungs filled up with my own bodily fluid and I drowned and suffocated in my own fluid, when my back was turned inside out by a whip, when I was beaten to a bloody pulp, when I had a crown of thorns put on my head, when I was mocked and spit at, it was all for you. Look, here's my hands. It was all for you. This is how much I love you. This is how much I love you. This is what I really think about you. Yeah, you heard me tell you I love you. As you traveled with me these last couple years, you heard me teach you about my love. But here, let me show you my love in action. I did this so that you could have eternal life. I did this so that you wouldn't have to. He showed us his love. And God comes to us, and Jesus will come to your situation, and he'll show you that he loves you. Let me tell you this, that people have probably in your life have showed you some good acts of kindness and acts of love. Maybe it was a parent or someone close to you or someone who came to you and showed you acts of love. But I would tell you this, no one has ever loved you the way Jesus Christ has loved you. Let me say it again. No one has ever loved you the way Jesus Christ has loved you. That he loves you and I so much. Today, we see it according to scriptures in Romans 5:8, says God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Today, that nobody will ever love you the way Jesus loves you. And some of you have a hard time comprehending that today because you've never allowed yourself to be loved because you've been hurt so much. But I say there's one person that you can give 100% of trust to. There's one person today that you can give your heart to and it'll be safe. And that's Jesus Christ, that he loves you beyond compare. He loves you more than anybody else will ever be able to love you. And he proved it when he nailed to the cross. Because I believe today, if I was the only one who needed the Savior, if you were the only one who needed the Savior, he loved us enough that he still would have came and died for me. He did. That while I was yet a sinner, Christ, you died for me. No greater love has a man ever shown to anyone than this. That he died for us. In spite of our rejection of him, in spite of our sin, in spite of us saying we don't believe, he still died for us. In spite of my failure, in spite of my running from him, in spite of my continuing messing up when I know to do good, in spite of me going and doing the wrong thing when I know I need to do the right thing, in spite of all that, he still loves me. And he died for me. He died for you. And he comes to you and I, and he shows us his love. You know, insecurity and fear cause us to overwork and to try to overcompensate for things. The more fear you are of losing someone, the more you try to work to gain their love. The more fear you are of losing something, you work harder and harder at trying to gain that trust and to get it. And so we work over and over again. But with God's love, we don't have to work to get it. It's not performance-based. Because when I was still a yes sinner, he died for me. And he brings me his love today. And today, there's nothing you can do to earn God's love. All you can do is accept it. That's all we have. We have a choice to accept his love. I can't earn it. But I can't accept it, and I must accept it. I must make a decision to accept his love. What's the other thing he did that set man apart? He said, he offers you forgiveness. He offers you forgiveness. This is an important factor because forgiveness is a big re-energizer. Forgiveness is a thing that really gets you going. You know, two of the biggest leaks in your tank can come to run your energy low and to run you spiritually and emotionally drained. It's when guilt and resentment come in. Guilt and resentment. I mean, those two things, being guilty, feeling guilt and resentment, those two things will drag you down more than anything else in your life. When you are feeling guilty about something you've done in your life, I mean, it weighs on you. And every day that just drags you down. And when you get resentment toward other people in your life, I mean, that bitterness will eat at you like a cancer and eat away at you. And he come to bring forgiveness. He brings you in that huddle and says, listen, guys, I know you're down. I know you're feeling like throwing in the towel, but listen, I bring forgiveness. I bring you some Gatorade. You drink this stuff, man, it's going to give you the energy you need. When you drink of my cup, it's not Gatorade, but it's the cup of my cross. When you drink of my cup, I'm going to give you freedom from that guilt. You think you want to run faster this next half? Try letting go of the guilt and allow my spirit to come in and bring you forgiveness. Let go of those who are hurting you. Let go of those who have hurt you and allow my spirit to help you learn to forgive those who have done you wrong and to set you free. You're never going to be happy until your life until you learn to let go of the people who have hurt you. Let go of the guilt you've done in your life. Listen, we're all guilty of something. We've all messed up in areas of our life. If we were to be honest, we could let guilt drag us down. But how many today are glad that our Savior come to set you free from guilt? He says that he forgives our sins, and he takes them, he throws them away in a sea of forgetfulness. You talk about re-energizing a group of people. Not coming and condemning them, but says, hey, I found you. I know you're under hiding. Nobody else knew where you were because you're afraid of getting arrested. I know you're thinking about how are we going to get out of town without getting hung up. You're thinking about where am I going to go? Where am I going to live? Change my identity. You probably already picked out a new name and everything. You think there's no hope. You're getting out of town. He says, hang on. Before you give up this fight, let me tell you about something. Peace be with you. I have found you. I am the risen Savior. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look at my side. I am who I said I was. Yes, I died, and I died so much because I loved you, and I have forgiven you in spite of your rejection of me, in spite of you not acknowledging who I was, even when you ran from me, Peter, and denied you knew me. Peter, I loved you. I don't condemn you, Peter. I mean, Peter goes from feeling like giving up to a few days later preaching to 3,000 people who gave their heart to God. I mean, just a few days. You're talking about a speech that pumped people up. These guys are ready to give it up, and now they're ready to go win the world because their sins had been forgiven. And Jesus came to them and said, I bring life. Everything I told you about is true. Look at my hands. This is validation. I willingly gave my life up for you. I don't condemn you. I bring peace. I bring forgiveness. You got to learn to walk in the forgiveness of God. Scripture says, happy is the person whose sins are forgiven and whose wrongs are pardoned. Happy is the person whom the Lord does not consider guilty anymore. You want to live your life happy? You want to learn to live your life at peace with the Lord? Learn to allow him to forgive you of the things you've done wrong and let it go. And then you got to, in return, he says, you do the same thing. In return, you learn to forgive others that have done you wrong. He says, I'm showing you grace and mercy in your life. Now I want you to show grace and mercy to other people. Yeah, I'm not saying that they didn't deserve what they got. I'm not saying that you didn't make them your best friend. I'm not saying that you got to be buddy-buddy with them. But learn to let them go. Forgive them and say, no longer am I going to be held captive for your wrong against me. I'm setting you free from that because God has set me free from my sin. And I'm setting you free, and I'm going to walk in freedom according to God's plan for my life. I know you would never know this by looking at me, but I love Krispy Kreme donuts. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, every time we go to any town that has a Krispy Kreme donuts and they have that red light on, I'm like, hallelujah. You know, the children of Israel had a pillar of fire to lead them as a sign of God. And anytime I see that hot sign on that says Krispy Kreme, I'm like, yes, Lord, you're leading me right there. I'm serious. I actually, if you look up the word Krispy Kremes in the Old Testament in the Hebrew, it actually translates the word manna. I think that's what God was. Just something. Seemed like, really? I did not know that. Hey, it's just something in the manna. Ah, this is Krispy Kremes. I'm not sure if it's manna or not, but manna tastes good. I love the cream inside there. I love it. And there's something about getting that hot and you eat that, and it's just, there's something magical about that cream, that feeling inside. You know that every one of us today, we have a longing to be filled up inside. Every one of us have a longing to be filled inside. And today God is longing to fill you today with his Spirit. He's longing to fill you. And see, the problem is this, that we try to fill our heart with so many things. When we're feeling bad, what do? We want to, some of us look to food for comfort. Some of us look to alcohol for comfort. Some people look to pornography. Some look to relationships. Someone's always looking for something to fill the void in their life. Always looking to fill that void when I'm feeling stressed out. And Jesus today is saying, I am wanting to be the cream inside your Krispy Kreme. Man, I'm wanting you to bring my Spirit, and I want it to be inside you. I want to fill you and bring you fulfillment in your life, because you will never find what you're looking for until you allow Jesus Christ to come into your life. I can tell you, nothing will ever, no money, no job, no relationship, no addiction, nothing will ever fill the void in your life until you allow Jesus Christ to fill the void in your life that he is destined in your heart to be. Which brings me to the last point today. He fills you with his Spirit. He fills you with his Spirit. Jesus said, I want to be with you. I don't want to just be with you, but I want to be inside you. In verse 22, it says, he looked at his disciples and he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Today you say, man, that sounds kind of spooky. I don't know if I want the Holy Spirit to come in me. It might make me different. And I say, yes, it will make you different. Because today, how many know we've allowed society to change us? I mean, we've worked so hard, the pressures of this world, where people have tried to form us to be a certain image, a certain body type, a certain lifestyle, a certain social class, a certain this and that, have pushed us from the time we've been very young. And society has formed us into its image. And today, he breathes his Spirit inside of us to make us formed into his image. You say, what happens if I accept God's Spirit in my life? What's going to happen? I would tell you this, you will become the person that God always meant for you to be. When I receive God's Spirit, I don't become more crazy. I become more like the person God created me to be. You mean, what happens if I receive God's Spirit? Am I going to comb my hair funny? Am I going to talk funny? Listen, God doesn't need any more weirdos. He's got enough of them already, okay? Don't look at your neighbor now. Some of you are looking around the room. God doesn't need any more weird people. He's got plenty of them. But he's calling you to be who you are. And when you allow his Spirit to come in you, he's empowering you to be the best father you can be. He's empowering you to be the best person you can be, the best mother, the best employer, the best Christian, the best witness for him. He's empowering you to be who you were naturally. When his Spirit fills you, you become the person that God intended for you to be all along, yourself, empowered by him the way he created you. God puts himself in you to make you alive and well in him. Today I'm going to close. There's more to the story, and I encourage you to go and read it. See this thing, this encounter that Jesus did with these guys, it changed the world. When he was rose from the dead and he appeared to the disciples, it changed the world. Christianity is here today because of the way these men changed the world by spreading the gospel. But they were ready to throw in the towel. They were ready to give up. But Jesus came to them, brought his love, brought his peace, and says, man, I've come to give you life. He's talking about changing the course of history. He's talking about changing the outcome of a game. He came and he recharged their life. Today, Jesus Christ is here to do the same in your life. I would say today that many of you here today have felt like throwing in the towel this past week. Some of you, maybe this past year has been a tough year for you. You say, you know what, I feel like just giving up, Pastor. I feel like I just don't want to do anything anymore. I don't want to serve God anymore. I don't know what to trust, what to believe, and I just feel like giving up. And I say today you're in the right spot because God is here today to tell you that he's here to re-energize your life. He meets you where you're at. Even though you've locked people away from you, even though you've locked yourself in hiding and said, nope, I'm not going to trust anybody else. I'm not going to get hurt anymore. He comes to you in spite of your fear, in spite of your guilt. He says, you know what? Peace be with you. That's all right. Calm down. I'm with you. Let me show you how much I loved you. Let me show how much faithful I was to you. Let me show you that I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. That every word I said to you was true, and I backed it up with my actions, and I proved it when I was raised from the dead. I proved that I was who I said I was. And when I said I will never leave you, I meant it. He brings you his peace. He brings you forgiveness to re-energize your life. He brings you free from guilt. And he longs to breathe his spirit alive in your life today to give you a new action plan, to give you new energy to live your life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Now today, I'm not going to do anything to embarrass anybody, but I know there's people here today that you hear this morning and you say, Pastor, as you're talking, I realize that that's me. I need Jesus in such a great way today. Now today, I'm so lost without him. And I realize today, as you're talking, that I need to get my heart right with God. And that simply means that I need to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. Ask him to be Lord of my life and forgive me my sins. And I want to come into the kingdom of God today, and I want to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I would not embarrass you. No one's looking but me. But today, if you say, ask me, Pastor, I want Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life, can you just raise your hand and say, I want to accept Jesus? Thank you. Anybody else stay? Thank you. Anybody else stay? Can you raise it high where you're at? Say, it's me. Thank you. Anybody else stay? You raise your hand. Say, it's me. I want to get right with God today. Anybody else? I'll give you a chance. Thank you. Thanks for being honest, bud. Anybody else today? God's Spirit's here moving through people's lives and making important decisions. This is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. To say, I want to. Maybe you're here today, you say, Pastor, I've accepted Jesus Christ in the past, but I've lived so far from him. And today I want to come back and rededicate my life to him, begin to serve him, get back to the place I know I need to be with him. That's you today. Can you raise your hand also? That's me. Yeah, thank you. Several hands went up today. So I want to do this. I want us all to pray this prayer. Let's all say it together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I accept your love today. I accept your forgiveness. Come into my life. Be Lord of my life. I will live for you. Amen. Let's give a hand clap to people. Yes, amen. Today, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it today, this is just the beginning of a new place, a new start for you. It's not the end all, but it's a new beginning. It's saying, you know what? I'm making a new step to accept Jesus Christ. That means I begin to turn away from the person I was and begin to walk in a new direction and say, I want to begin to walk toward the things of Christ. And so if you don't have a home church, you need to be plugged into a home church. We welcome you here. We've got a lot of people that'll love you, that'll help you, disciple you, and just show you a lot of love and friendships. Allow us to come alongside you and do that today. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. I'm going to close you out today. And I know that God's Spirit is here to set us free. How many know that? Amen. You be free today. Now listen, today, if you raise your hand for salvation, you prayed that prayer and you meant it, before you leave today, we got some salvation packets in the very back for you. Go to very directly to the back by the sound room. We got a whole bunch. Listen, we got some very important material in there for you to read. It tells you what to do next. We got a new Bible for you just to let you know that we love you and some other things to help you understand that. So stop by there today before you leave. Pick one of those up. It's our free gift to you. We say welcome to the family of God. Amen. God, today we thank you. Yes. Father, we thank you, Lord, because your word says that when people come home to you, there's a party in heaven. And God, I believe today that angels are rejoicing, Lord, thanking the Lord for those who have come home today to know you as Lord and Savior. God, we have come today. We thank you, God, that you came to give us a pep talk, Lord, to re-energize us and say we can make it, that we don't have to live in fear, but we can walk in freedom of the cross of Jesus Christ. And together we say amen, amen. God bless you today. Shake a hand before you leave. You guys have a great week. Enjoy your afternoon.